If you're desperately waiting for the narcissist to see how abusive they are, to acknowledge their wrongdoings, you're wasting your time and efforts. Why? Because by nature, they're limited to playing only three roles. One, of the victim, two, of the savior, and three, of the player. They can't be the offender, which in reality they are, but they can't accept they are the offender. Anybody else except them has to be in the wrong. They can never be wrong. You know this. Let's understand how they transition between these roles and how that impacts you at a psychological level in today's episode. Hi, I am Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. In today's episode, we are going to talk about the three main roles played by a narcissist in any relationship. One, of the player, two, of the savior, and three, of the victim. We're going to talk about how they keep transitioning between these three for only one reason, and that is to avoid taking responsibility for their actions. We will explore how, by taking these roles, they preserve their false self. If any of that sounds interesting and you're eager to learn more with me, please make sure to subscribe, because as I always keep saying, your subscription to the channel helps spread awareness about narcissistic abuse. Let's begin with role number one, the player. Like in chess game, you can predict the moves of your opponent before making any moves at all. A narcissist can predict what emotions you will feel once they say something, do something, or act in a certain way. They know what outcome they want out of the situation. They know what they want you to say or how they want you to behave, and then they devise everything accordingly. Many people wonder, do they think all of this? Does that go through their conscious mind? Do they strategically plan all of that? Yes, it is planned, but now it has become their second nature because they have been doing this for eons. They're a master manipulator, the ultimate gaslighter, the ultimate gamer and player you will ever come across. It is in their blood now. It's as easy as breathing is to you. Let me give you a small example. Let's say you are going on a trip with a narcissist. Now you sit, both of you are in the car, and some song is playing on the radio. You don't like it, and you change it. The moment you change it, the narcissist changes their behavior. All of a sudden, their breathing is quite fast. They're grinding their teeth. You can see their face turning red. They're honking the horn. They almost start rash driving. They're not saying anything at all, but you can read their behavior. Instantly, you start becoming anxious. Why? Because you have been programmed to act that way. And when you ask them, is everything all right? Did I make a mistake? They might sometimes directly blame you, like, how many times have I told you not to do that? On and on and on and on. Or they may become passive aggressive. What that does is that instills that chronic sense of doubt in your head, and you start questioning yourself, or maybe I shouldn't have done that. Why did I even think about changing the song? Why did I have needs in the first place? And so on. And that passive aggression or that overt aggression triggers that reaction in you 10x more. And sometimes you start fighting back, but then they play Darvo. Your reaction becomes their focus. You are made out to be the offender, the perpetrator, while they get enjoy the seat of a victim. And that reaction is then used to prove you are the crazy one. And then the same person, quite shockingly, tries to soothe you. It's okay, we're going to work on these issues together, and so on. They may say bizarre things like, I'm willing to give this relationship one more try. I don't have any other option because I love you a lot. They know how to attack you, but then make it seem like you caused harm to yourself. They had no role to play in it. Got the opposite. They got harmed by you, and you don't understand that why, but they make it understandable by creating false equivalency and then soothe you, which creates cognitive dissonance. Do you understand how this game is played? I'm giving you a very basic example, but look at that in a broader sense and as patterns in the relationship. This is how they play their game. They install these buttons they push later through gaslighting, manipulation, chronic brainwashing, by triggering certain emotions. They know what they are doing. They shape your behavior. They model your behavior, only to weaponize it against you later. So what they do down the line is they push these buttons and then Watch the show. They don't have to do anything. They watch you unravel. They watch you fall apart. And they enjoy it because it's caused by them. That's why they're the biggest player. They know how to put people against each other, how to create a sense of competition, how to create roles in the family if it is a narcissistic parent, and deny it if confronted. They know how to put you down without putting you down. They know how to become really aggressive and then call you crazy for reacting to that aggression or for being anxious or for not giving them the emotions they want out of you. All of this brings us to the role number two, which is of the savior. The narcissist thinks of him or herself as the biggest savior. Once the fight erupts, they use your reactions against you. You melt down. They come around and give you a hug. You're crying. Oh, I'm sorry you're feeling this way. I'm sorry, but... And they are there, I'm kissing you, whatever. I mean, it doesn't even happen in so many cases, but let's suppose they come to save you in any way. They do something that can be seen as an act of saving. That is how they justify themselves. That is how they convince themselves they are a good person. Because I did this in the end. But what about all the things you did in the beginning? They're all flushed, drained, erased, and forgotten. The same narcissist who is a monster to you at home, inside the four walls, goes out and becomes the nicest person, helps the old lady trying to cross the road. Oh, you go and see them giving millions of dollars to charity, and you're left wondering, bamboozled, shocked. Who's this person? How could they do all of this when they can't a single bit of effort into a relationship to make it work? That role of savior is used by the narcissist to gaslight themselves and justify the treatment they are giving you. Oh, she is terrible. Oh, he is controlling or whatever. He deserves that. I'm treating them this way because they have made me be this way. See, I'm not like this to anybody except you. What does that do to you? That makes you question yourself. You ask things like, oh, I must be doing something terribly wrong for them to behave this way with me only. Why are they nice to others? And then you keep changing yourself, which leads to further demoralization because you're shunning your true self. You're changing your values. What does that mean? That means if you are someone who believes in loyalty and can never put up with cheating, you start putting up with cheating, knowing they're cheating, but still you think it's your fault. You are making them go out and seek that kind of attention. And that is where the actual traumatization happens. I want you to understand that this is not simple trauma. All of this is complex trauma. Complex because it unalives your personality. Not permanently, but it truly attacks the innermost core of who you are. It leaves you traumatized in ways I can't even put in words. I hope you get it. It's so painful, beyond painful, to go through what you have been through. I'm saying this because I want you to extend that grace to yourself and acceptance to yourself that you give to others. You don't know what you have been through. You don't know that. The savior narcissist keeps driving you crazy again and again. Every time when he or she comes across as the one who says sorry, let's say, or tries something to resolve the conflict, because then you are made to feel and believe, see, he is the one, she is the one approaching, trying to make this relationship work. So that must mean I am the one who is not putting in effort. So I am the one who is always creating these fights. Why else would they want this to work? Why else would they agree to going to therapy? Well, they are trying to do that because you are their primary source of supply, and they like it when they see you going through these phases of crazy making, of feeling like you're powerless and losing control, your own sanity. Role number three, the role of the victim, the most favorite role a narcissist plays towards the end. If you have left them, if you have divorced them, if you have not fallen for the manipulation, if you have exposed them, if you have held them accountable without giving them any chance to escape, they become the victim of their circumstances. Oh, them. You were the craziest wife, the most controlling husband, the most disobedient child who hurt their feelings. How could you? You abandoned the family. You targeted them where it hurt them the most. You left them alone. They wanted to give this relationship a chance, but you gave up on them when they needed you the most, and so on. These sob stories never end. They go around and run massive smear campaigns on the basis of these lies to make everybody see them as the sheep and you the wolf. Oh, you were trying to hunt them down every single minute spent in the relationship. You have never given them the respect, all the things that you know of, you have heard of. And some people who do not know about these situations or who are basically minions, then take their side and they don't even matter. It's a filtering process, I must tell you. These three roles in combination are used to abuse a victim thoroughly inside out. The player plays all the game, shapes the environment to elicit responses they want and to get outcomes they're looking for. The savior tries to gaslight the victim into believing they're the cause of every single problem, and ultimately the victim tries to make it seem like they're the one who has been wronged. The goal of a narcissist while playing these three roles is to be the right one. Think about this. If someone is playing the game, shaping the environment to get the outcome they want, how will they think they're doing something wrong? If someone is being the savior, always trying to fix things or appear as the one who is trying their best, how will they ever accept they're doing something terribly wrong? Of course, in fact, they make you think you're doing everything wrong. The third one, quite obvious, the victim. If they're the victim of their circumstances, there is no question of taking responsibility for anything. So this is how they save their behind, aka the false self, a self that can't take responsibility even for the most insignificant thing that you can think of. When the roles are reversed, they chastise you by justifying all the things to themselves and how you are the villain and how you have done them so much wrong and so on through self-gaslighting. That is how this transitioning helps them, and that is how it impacts you. That's why they become so punitive, vindictive, and Machiavellian towards the end of it all. That was it for today's episode. I hope you found it insightful. If you did, let me know in the comments. Also, let me know what would you like me to talk about in the next one. I'll talk with you once again very soon. Until then, as always, let the healing begin and continue.